Well, good morning. It is Mission Sunday at Champion Forest, and so we're going to take a minute up front. I want you, if you picked this up when you came in, just to grab it for a second. I want to flip through a couple of things that are in this little brochure about our missions opportunities as we get started. You know, one of the goals of a Sunday like this is to help our minds and our hearts focus on the different things that God is doing in and through the mission efforts of Champion Forest Baptist Church. And whether you've gone on a trip or not, whether you've been a part of one or not, let me just let you know that you are a part of the mission at Champion Forest Baptist Church. You are a part of what God is doing. And so as you look through that, you're going to notice a couple of things. Almost all, not all, but almost all of the different missions partners that we have are listed right here in this brochure. You see what they're doing. You see who they are. You see their email addresses, ways to get in touch with them. You see their prayer needs that are listed out there. And so as we think, as we talk, as we plan, as we pray about missions in this coming year, we wanted to put this in your hands for a couple of different reasons, right? The first thing that we want to encourage everybody to do with this folder is simply to pray, right? To pray for the names and the people and the faces that you see listed here, whether you know them or not, whether you knew it or not. You're a major part of supporting them wherever God has placed them around the world. And so I want to encourage you as a church family to pray for those that we support, that we lift up. Many of these we know personally. I know personally. Our missions team knows them all, but many of them I know. I've been able to go and see them and work with them and pray with them, and just want to encourage you to pray for them. And if you look in there, you even see email addresses. I cannot tell you what a blessing it would be for our people around the world to begin to get emails every now and then from people in our church saying, hey, we're praying for you, we love you, we're behind you, we support you. I'm telling you, it would bless them unlike anything else. So the one of the main reasons, right, we wanted you to have this is so that you could be praying for the people that God has placed around the world. You might be thinking you know someone that we support, that we invest in, that's not in here. That's probably true. There are some, just because of safety of where they're located, we could not put in there. You heard Rayanne pray earlier. There are people that are persecuted around the world, and so there are certain ones that we could not put in there, right? The second reason we wanted to give this to you is this. We want you to go visit some of these people, right? We have a full missions trip schedule that's in the back of that brochure. Everything that's happening over the course of this next year and all of our trips, right, are to our partners to come alongside them. If you look around our church, we have a lot of people that are engaged and connected in our church. We have a lot of people that can be the hands and feet and that can serve. But a lot of these church plants and these missionaries don't have the kind of people yet that we do. And so when we go on these trips, we come alongside them. We partner with those churches and we help them reach the community right where they're at. And let me just say that if you've never been on a trip, I really want to encourage you to pray about it, to consider it, and see if God would have you go in this next year. We're going to be looking at you know, really focusing our campus, North Cline, in on a couple of these trips. And if you're interested, if you want to go, if you want to help lead a team or recruit people to go, just tell them at the missions booth after the service. We've got it set up in the lobby. Say, hey, I'm in for missions. I want to go on a trip. I want to help lead a trip. Take my name down, and we'll give you a call here soon, right? So there's a lot of things that are going on. One of the things that you'll notice in here, as we just think through missionally how we can go to these partners that are around the world. We can go to these partners that are around the United States, but we can also go to our neighbors, okay? I want to point you to two ways that we can serve and love our neighbors this fall. And the first one, really, they're both very simple, but they go a long, long way. Some of our partners that might not be listed in here are Fox Elementary, just right behind the church, Zwink Elementary, just in front of the church, and Schultz Elementary, just down the street from the church. Here's what they've asked. They've asked people that are loving, that are caring, that are kind, to invest in their students, right? And by investing in their students, we'll be investing in their families. They need 35 of us, right, to be what they call child mentors at their school. And don't let the mentor thing throw you off, right? What they really want is friends, right? Trusted adult friends that can speak truth and love and grace into the life of their kids. It's 30 minutes, one time a week during a kid's lunch break, right? So if you're at home, if you're retired, if you work from home, if you stay at home, if you get a lunch break, this is something that all of us potentially could do, right? They can only take 35. So if you're interested in it, you're trained and you're equipped, you're not going in blind, And we'd love for you to consider this a way that you could be on mission. Go to the missions booth in the atrium after the service and just say, hey, I got 30 minutes a week to sit down and love on a kid and love on a family. It's a great way for us as the church to mobilize to our neighbors right here in the community. And then here's the last thing, and then we're going to open God's Word together. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and pull it out. We're going to be in Acts chapter 8. The last thing that I want to point you to is this when it comes to missions. We've identified through these schools 75 families that the school has sort of termed at-risk families, families that aren't able to provide for their families and for their kids like they would hope and want to provide for them. And so they've asked us as a church to bless these families with Thanksgiving dinner. And I couldn't say no, right? It's the right thing to do. We absolutely want to do it. And we've made it as easy as possible for everyone to jump in and be a part of this with us. Our ushers, when we leave today, will have grocery bags, right? And on the grocery bag, just on the front of it, we've stapled the canned goods that are needed to make a Thanksgiving dinner. We got the turkeys, right? We'll have them all up here, but we're asking our families, right? One per family to fill one of these bags with the other things needed for a Thanksgiving dinner. The families will come to the church. We'll be able to bless them, share the gospel with them, and send them off with something that'll be a big, big blessing for their family, right? So there's opportunities, whether we go around the world to visit some of our partners or whether we stay right here and love on our neighbors. And at the end of the day, we know that that is exactly what God has called us to do, right? To love Him and to love people. And we've got the opportunity to do just that, right? Rayanne mentioned in her prayer those that are being held hostage right now. If you didn't know, you weren't aware, 17 Christian missionaries in Haiti were taken hostage. They were kidnapped over the course of this past week, and it's a scary thing, right? It's a very unsettling thing. We've got partners there in that city. We work with people in Port-au-Prince. I've taken people from our church in that city to work with orphans and widows and the poor and people that are in desperate need. And so as we look at things that are going on around the world, we see that those in Haiti now, those in Afghanistan, those in China, and so many other places, that they're facing persecution. Why? Because of their faith in Jesus Christ, and it's not a new thing. So this Mission Sunday, we're going to do something that I don't know we've really done before, and we're going to take a minute to talk about and to pray for the persecuted church around the world. And if you've got your Bibles open to Acts chapter 8, we're going to see it there, and it's important for us to know, it's important for us to learn about, because this is still happening around the world. And as we study this morning, the hope and the prayer is this, is that we understand that the persecution doesn't stop or prevent the advancement of the church around the world, but instead, this persecution propels the church forward into what God has called each and every one of us to be. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, read with me. God's word says this, and Saul approved of his execution. I'll tell you what that means in just a minute. And it says, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, and Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house. He dragged off men, he dragged off women, and he committed them to prison. Okay, let's pause there. Remember Acts? It's the history of the church. There's a timeline that we follow as we look through the book of Acts each and every week. Where we're at in the timeline here, Stephen, we saw last week, a man of character, conviction, and courage. He spoke the truth boldly to the people. The Jewish leaders didn't like it. They had him executed right there. And we see Saul standing there, nodding, giving the thumbs up, approving the execution of Stephen, the first martyr in the church. Saul is about to have his life radically changed, right? And we're going to see the one approving the execution become probably the most powerful missionary in the history of the world. But we're getting to his story in the next couple of weeks, not this morning. Here's what we see in these three verses. Saul approved the execution. The church mourned the loss of Stephen, a faithful brother in Christ. But that wasn't all that happened there. In verse 1, we see that the day that Stephen's martyred, this great persecution arose against the church. Where? Look in your Bible. Where did this persecution happen? Against the church in Jerusalem. Now, it was only in Jerusalem because the church was only in Jerusalem. Okay? The only believers, the only Christians at that time were in the city of Jerusalem. Now, Jesus had told them, you guys are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the way to the ends of the earth. And listen, the church got a great start in Jerusalem. Tens of thousands of people had trusted in Jesus, right? Lives were changed for eternity. There was a ton of people that were following after Christ, but they hadn't really branched outside of Jerusalem. And we see here now there's this great persecution against all the Christians that are in Jerusalem. And when we read great persecution, it's probably easy to read it fast and to keep reading to the next verses and the next sentences. But we need to think about what that means, because for me, it's a distant concept. I haven't been greatly persecuted. You probably haven't either. Right? These people were, right? That they were identified as believers. They were attacked, right? And it wasn't a random thing. It was 100% because they believed in Jesus. No one else was targeted. No one else was killed during this. But we see that they were in their homes. People bust into their homes. People would drag the men. They would drag the women off to prison. Who knows what would happen to their kids? Many of these believers were killed. They were run out of town. And so as you think about them and their lives, I mean, they're people just like us, right? People that are trying to love their family, people that are trying to love Jesus, people that are trying to do the right thing. And all of a sudden, their lives are completely turned upside down, right? Their home's gone. Their business is gone. Their livelihood's gone. In some cases, many of their family members were gone. Listen, life for them, as we would think about it, was completely destroyed. And so as we think about it, just put yourself in that situation, right? You're on the block and you see it five or six houses down. They're going in and pulling people out. You know they're coming for you next. What would you do? I mean, I would leave, right? I would do whatever I could to get out of there, protect my kids, to protect my family, right? I would go. That's what they did. Right, the Bible says that they scattered. Now, I want you to look back at verse 1 and see where they went. It says that this persecution rose and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And I want you to look at these two verses on the screen together, because they're essentially doing what Jesus had said they were going to do anyway. If you look back at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right, you'll see similarities there. They're scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, and Jesus had told them that he wanted them to be his witnesses in Judea and Samaria. So what's happening here, God is making this persecution serve his mission, right? The persecution here that the church is experiencing is pushing forward the Great Commission. Listen, the church was doing great in their city. They just hadn't left home yet, right? Like Jesus had told them to. And now we're seeing that this persecution pushed or it sent believers all over that part of the world. And so now in these new cities in Judea and Samaria where Christians go, there's going to be new people that live next door to followers of Christ. There's going to be more people that work alongside people that have trusted in Jesus. There's going to be more people that shop at the market and get their goods, encountering people that have experienced life by placing their faith and trust in Christ. So think about what's about to happen in these cities, right? There's about to be an explosion of the gospel in these new places as well, right? Those that were working against God here, that they were not winning, right? Those that tried to stomp out the gospel here, all that they did was they set in motion the largest mass send-off of missionaries that the world has ever seen, right? Tens of thousands of people at once going out with the hope of the gospel to these new places. And so as we think about the persecuted church in Acts chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3, we really see it starting there. Here's what we need to know, right? God has a word for us in this. And the first thing that I want to make sure we walk away with is this, the simple fact. Number one, persecution does not surprise God. Right, God was not surprised by anything that happened in Acts chapter 8. Jesus in John 15 looked right at those same apostles, those same disciples, and this is what he told them. He said, remember, I said to you in John 15, verse 20, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And here's what we need to know, right? Persecution does not stop when the pages of the Bible stop, right? There's 28 chapters in the book of Acts, and we're going to see the church wrestling and battling with this persecution all the way through. And when we get to Acts chapter 28, I'm just telling you now that persecution didn't stop. It continued throughout the pages of history. The early church is persecuted by those Jewish leaders that wanted to stomp it out and point people back to the temple system. The late first century church, and on the second, third, and fourth century, those believers, man, they were terrorized. They were persecuted by a Roman Empire with cruel mean Roman emperors that looked to stomp out Christianity. You can walk your way forward and even get to the time of the Reformation in Europe when people were pointed back to the Word of God and waves and massive numbers of people, right? While that's going on in Europe, man, there's a genocide going on of believers in Japan and China and the Ottoman Empire, right? It's happening today around the world and in Haiti and Afghanistan and all that persecution in the world then and the world now. It started right here in Acts chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3, right? God was not surprised by it, and we shouldn't be either. And you might be wondering, okay, I get this, right? I see that it happened then, but why does it matter to me now? I don't live there, right? I wasn't in Jerusalem back in that first century. Listen, it matters because that persecution hasn't stopped, right? It only seems to grow year after year, decade after decade. I want you to think about this, and this is numbers and dates, so I'm going to go slow so I don't confuse myself or you, but think about this. In the past 100 years, there's been this growing hostility against believers around the world, and according to D.A. Carson, pastor, author, editor, more people have been martyred. That means more people have lost their life trusting in Jesus in the last 100 years than in the first 1900 years of the church combined. Right? More people today are losing their life for the name of Jesus than the rest of history combined. Right? It is a spreading problem. And it doesn't just happen to people that are often in different parts of the world that we don't know of, that don't impact us. It happens to people that we might know. It happens to people just like you and just like me. There's this guy named Ronnie Smith and his wife Anita and their son Hosea. There's a picture of them that they're going to put on the screen. But Ronnie and Anita, they're from Texas. Ronnie and Anita graduated from the University of Texas. They went to Austin Stone Church in downtown Austin. Many of you probably know that church. They were sitting in church. They felt called by God to be missionaries, to share the light and the love of Jesus around the world. And so they did. Right, they got up and they went to go share the love of Christ in another part of the world. He's a chemical engineer, a UT grad, and so he went to teach chemistry in Libya at this school there. And man, God used him in a powerful, powerful way. You can read stories and testimonies of people in Libya now that are believers because of Ronnie and Anita's ministry there among them. Right, 2013. Christmas is coming. Anita comes home with Hosea. She flies back to Texas, right, to home for her. And she's spending the holiday with family. Ronnie, the professor, right, is helping his kids get through their exams, their finals. He's set to fly out on the weekend to come home. And 2 days before he flies home, he's just doing his morning jog, right? He's exercising in his neighborhood. A car pulls up and says, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." And he lost his life in the street right in front of his house before he could come home and be with his family. Listen, persecution is a real thing. It's still happening. And what we need to know as the church, right, as people that are part of the global body of Jesus, that all the efforts throughout history to slow Jesus down, all of the efforts to stomp out the Word of God, to remove the Word of God, all of the time, all of the energy, all of the effort, all of the money, all of the hate that people have used to stop the church from being the church, all of that's failed, right? Even amid persecution, God moves the church forward, right? That's the name of the series that we're in the book of Acts, because all the persecution that they faced throughout the book of Acts, God continued to move the church forward. And for us, we need to know, we need to trust, we need to have confidence of this very thing, that the persecution propels the church forward, right? God's not surprised by it, and in fact, he uses it to push the church forward. Nothing that the enemy does is going to stop the purposes of God. I love the way that Tony Morita says it. He says, while suffering may be inevitable, God's mission is unstoppable. See, we've got to remember that we don't see things the way that God sees things. We look at the world through this limited scope of things that we know, things that we've seen, right? Things that we have experienced, while God holds all of time and history in his hands. And a lot of times, the things that we could see as a problem, right, are really just God positioning things for an even greater movement of his love, right? China, right now, is a great modern example of it. They continue to be a target of persecution, the believers there, even from their own government. But still, they gather together in underground churches. They share the love of Jesus with people that do not know Jesus, right? They're on fire for the gospel in the midst of what we might call major setbacks. So much so, I read an article this week. It said this: the uncontrolled growth of Christianity in China makes their government nervous. Listen to this. In the next 3 years, they're anticipating that 247 million people will be followers of Christ in China. A season of explosive growth in the midst of growing persecution. So for us as believers, when we see it, when we hear about it, we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't wonder where God is when those kind of things are going on. Listen, we know where God is. God is on his throne in heaven in full control of everything. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For by God all things were created in heaven and on earth, whether visible or invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through God and for God. And God is before all things, and in God all things are held together," right? We see that over and over and over again. Pastor Hristo Kulichev, he's a pastor in Bulgaria. And so he does what a pastor does, right? He's faithfully teaching the word of God in his church. Because he did that, what happened to him? He was arrested. He's thrown in prison. His trial was a sham, and he's locked up in prison. And here's what he knew and what he understood, right? He understood the words of Jesus when Jesus told all of us as his followers to be a witness no matter where we're at, right? That applies to us too, right? We're witnesses at work, at home, at school, on our teams, with our friends, in public, when we go to restaurants, the grocery store, wherever. We're called to be witnesses. And Pastor Kulichev understood that meant even in prison. And in prison, when you read his story, this is what it says. He made Christ known in every way he could. And as I read that this week, God used that to challenge me, to convict me, to make me ask the question of myself, man, do I make Jesus known every way I can? Not every now and then. Not sometimes or in some situations, not with this part of my life, but not this part of my life. Do I make Jesus known in every way I can? Let me ask you the same thing. Do you make Jesus known in every way that you can, in every area of your life, with every gift or skill set or talent or ability or resource God has given you? Do you make Jesus known? Because, man, we should. That is what he told us to do. Pastor Kulichev, he did that in prison. And when he got out, he wrote something, and I just want you to hear it. He said, "Both prisoners and jailers asked me many questions about Jesus. And it turned out that we had a more fruitful ministry in prison than we could have expected in the church. God was better served by our presence in prison than if we had been free." It's perspective, right? Pastor Andrew Brunson says the same thing. He's that pastor that was jailed in Turkey for years. He came home, I believe, in 2019, and he's going to be speaking at our missions banquet tonight. You don't want to miss it. But I want you to listen to what he said about his time in prison. This is a perfect example of God taking the persecution and using it to propel the church. People that didn't know where Turkey was on a map spent years praying for the people of Turkey. Spent years praying for the hearts of people there. That's a majority Muslim country, and Christians from all over the world were pouring prayer into it because of the persecution that Andrew Brunson faced. Listen, you can't stop God. You can't stop his love, his grace, his mercy. You can't stop his church, right? No matter what comes its way, we see that the church of Jesus moves forward. That's what Jesus said, that he was going to build this church and that the gates of hell would not be able to stand against it. So persecution, it's not a surprise. We know that. Persecution propels the church forward. We see that in the Word of God and throughout history. This morning, we see that it goes forward, and this we know it to be true. And so the question now is what do we need to do, right, as believers that live in Houston? What do we need to do as believers that attend Champion Forest Baptist Church, North Carolina? There's four things. I want to encourage you to write them down. The first is very simple. It's grow. Right? We need to grow. And what I mean by that is we do not need to get comfortable. There's this certain spiritual danger, right, that comes with comfort. or with ease or with prosperity. And when people get too comfortable, what happens? When people get too comfortable, we get lazy. And that can happen spiritually too. Right? We can get lazy. We can get apathetic towards spiritual things, not focused on God or on what God has called us to do. Almost like we sort of get rocked to sleep a little bit. And as believers, we know God's called us to move forward. We know God's called us to walk with Him. So let's not be lazy. Let's not be apathetic towards spiritual things. Let's grow in our personal walks with Christ and let's go forward, right? Even if it means persecution. I read this week, a ship is safe in its harbor, but that's not where it was created to be. We know persecution's real. We know it could happen to us at some point. And for us, we get ready for what God has for us tomorrow by spending time with Him today. Right, as we grow with Him, as we walk with Him, He prepares us for the things that we're going to walk through. So for us, let's keep growing closer to Jesus. Let's get in the Word. Let's pray. Let's spend time with Him. Let our mind rest on Him so He can prepare us for what comes. The second thing that we can do this morning for the persecuted church around the world is we can pray. Right? We can pray for the church around the world. We did that this morning as Rayanne led out. We'll continue to do that. There's this organization called Voice of the Martyrs. And Voice of the Martyrs, man, their mission is to resource and to love and to support the persecuted church around the world. So they're in contact with these people. They're in contact with these church leaders and these church members that are suffering around the world. And you know what they want more than anything from the church in America? Prayer. That they're begging for us as believers in America to pray for them as they're around the world. That's why we put that thing in your hands this morning. Pray for the church around the world. Use it as a prayer guide. Just pick one a day. Pray through it with your spouse. Pray through it with your kids. Pray for God to move in a powerful way in different parts of the world. The third thing that we can do is we can give. Right, just like that early church leaving town in the middle of the night, becoming refugees, having nothing, that happens all over the world today. And as people that are blessed, we should be willing to give, love, and support our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And let me just go ahead and affirm you as a church family right now. Guys, we do that. Right, you guys are generous with what God has blessed you with. You give, and I just want to give you an update on that. They're going to put it on the screen, but you guys gave. Right, we as a church family gave $470,000 over and above our budget just to missions last year. And from that amount, right, we're taking $283,000 and we're sending it directly across the world through our International Missions Board via the Lottie Moon offering. Listen, that money, it's going overseas, it's going to missionaries, it's going to churches, it's going to believers that need it who would not make it. Listen, they would not make it without your generosity. I'm telling you right now, God is using your generosity to bless the nations through what's happening right here in Houston. So we can see and know that we can give, be generous, and God's going to use that to shape and change the world. And the last thing that we can do is we can go. Right? We can go. We can take the gospel around the world. So let's move forward. Right? I'm just telling you that God opens your heart. He opens your mind. He opens your eyes different when you're willing to go, whether it's on a mission trip, whether it's as a missionary, or if it's to your next door neighbor to share the hope that you have in Jesus. Every one of us, every day, have opportunities to go. That's what the early church did. If you've still got your Bible open, look at Acts chapter 8. They're scattered all over. They're moving because they're being persecuted. Acts chapter 8 verse 4 says this, those who were scattered, listen, they're refugees here. I mean, they're running from persecuted, but in verse 4 it says, those that were scattered, what did they do? They went about preaching the word. As they're scattered, they went about teaching Jesus. As they're scattered, they still wanted to point people to the hope that we have in Jesus. And verses 5, 6, and 7 sort of describe how they did that. And look at verse 8. They're scattered, they preach the word, and in this new city that they're in, it says there was so much joy in the city. Listen, when we go with the gospel, when we move forward as a church, even in the midst of persecution, we see the joy of Jesus. So church family, as we go, wherever God scatters us this week, right, let's take Jesus with us and move forward in joy. Would you pray with me? And I just want to take a minute to start even now, right this morning, in this time of prayer. This isn't just a time to be still or to be quiet. This is a time where we can think about the Word of God, where we can think about Acts chapter 8, those verses 1 through 3, where we can think about that persecuted church then and think about that persecuted church now. And I just want to invite you, right, to pray for God to move in the church around the world. If you want to, in this prayer moment, just open up that brochure that's right in front of you. Pick a name, pick a family, pick people, pray for them. Right? Ask God to give them boldness and strength and endurance. Ask God to give them His favor so that they can continue to speak words of life. Take a second and ask God to help the gospel move forward, not just abroad, but here. Ask God to help the church move forward in your neighborhood, in your school. Ask God to help the gospel move forward in your workplace, among your peer group, with your friends. And maybe this morning, as we're praying, you need to ask God to help the gospel to move forward in your own heart. Maybe you've drifted away from Him. You haven't been close in the relationship with Him like you know you need to be. Maybe this morning your prayer is, God, push that gospel, the good news of Jesus, deeper and deeper into my heart and my mind. God, transform me to be more like You. Transform me to love like You. Transform me to pray, serve, give, go, and love like You, Father. And maybe that's your prayer this morning because you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If that's the case, and we pray that you wouldn't leave here today without trusting the love of Jesus. We saw this morning that He simply cannot be stopped. So if that's you, I want to invite you to surrender your life to Him today. Just a minute, we're going to stand and sing together. Just a time of worship in response to the Word of God. And as we do, we'll have pastors and leaders down front that would just love to pray with you. They would love to talk with you about what's going on in your world and your life. They would love to come alongside you and pray for the things that are going on. Maybe it's an illness or a sickness. Maybe you're ready to trust Christ or be baptized or join the church. Whatever it is that's going on in your world, there's people here that would love to pray with you about it. God, we love You and we trust You. God, I pray that You'd be with the church around the world this morning. God, help us to know and understand, God, that we're one local gathering of believers right here in this room, God, but there are so many more around the world, and so many don't have the freedom to do what we're doing now. God, give them grace, peace, endurance, boldness, God, to do what You've called them to do, to be a light in a dark place. And God, I ask that same thing for us, God, that in the midst of the freedom we have, that we would be a light in a dark place as well. God, be with us as You send us. Lord, we love You and trust You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we worship, and we'll have people down here if you're ready to pray.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.